On Saturday, the new National Museum of African American History and Culture opens its doors in Washington. The museum will tell stories that are magnificent, awful, and profound. That's according to Robert Wilkins. He's a federal judge and chairman of the site committee of the presidential commission that led to the museum's authorization 13 years ago, back in 2003. But Wilkins says the museum's journey is much longer than that, and it dates back 100 years. He tells that story in his new book, and Judge Wilkins joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the title of your book is Long Road to Hard Truth, the 100-year mission to create the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Take us back to 1916. Why does the story begin there?
The story begins there because the year before the 50th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, there was a reenactment of the victory parade for Union soldiers. There had been the original victory parade in 1865, and 200,000 soldiers marched from the Capitol past the White House over the course of 2 days, and not a single one of them was an African-American combat soldier. Huh. 50 years later, in this reenactment by the Union veterans, lots of African-Americans came to Washington so that they could participate, but the event was segregated, as everything was during that time. And a group of prominent black Washingtonians put together a colored citizens committee so that this group of black veterans would have entertainment and transportation and places to stay while they were in Washington. And then afterwards they said, you know, we need a permanent memorial to honor African-American soldiers. And then it grew to recognizing that there should be a memorial to all African-American achievement, a museum.
And what was the initial reaction to the idea? Did it have support elsewhere in Washington?
There was broad support for it in the African American community in Washington and around the country. The other part of the context that's important here is that the movie Birth of a Nation had been released in 1915, and it had been screened at the White House. It was going around the country, and indeed, one of the very first rallies that this organization had that was created to build this memorial to Negro achievement, they called it, the flyer had emblazoned across the top in all capital letters, Birth of a Race. Uh-huh. And it's clear that they were responding affirmatively to declare that they were people and they were people who deserved recognition and respect.
I see. At what point in time did the idea for this museum gain support in the White House? If I remember correctly, President Calvin Coolidge at one time approved of the idea.
On his very last day in office, March the 4th of 1929, he signed the legislation into law that would create a commission to plan and build this national memorial building to Negro achievement. The problem is that the only way that they could get it passed over the opposition of the Southern Democratic congressmen was to take all the funding out of it. So it passed without any federal funding. They could get $50,000 in federal funding, but only if they raised $500,000 first. So President Hoover then takes over, and the timing couldn't be worse because in October of 1929, we have the stock market crash and the beginning of the Great Depression, and the effort essentially dies off.
And then how long does the idea remain dormant for?
It remains dormant until the mid-1960s, concurrent with the black arts and the black studies movements that are beginning in the mid-1960s. There was a great debate in Congress about whether it should be called a Negro Museum or an Afro-American Museum or African-American or black history, similar to the debate going on in America at that time. And James Baldwin and Jackie Robinson and Roy Ennis, they all testified in Congress in support of this, but nothing passed.
Nothing passed. So I'm just wondering, I want to talk for in a minute about sort of the where we find ourselves today. But in the course of your writing, Long Road to Hard Truth, I mean, what were some of the things, some of the reactions you had to this 100-year-long history and the fact that it did take so long and that the idea, it was a century ago that this very worthy idea first happened, but as we've been discussing, it's just sort of ebbed and flowed in terms of the nation's willingness to make it a reality.
You know, I have been frustrated and angry and had a range of emotions over the past 20 years that I've worked on this project. And that's the reason why I chose the title, Long Road to Hard Truth, because James Baldwin testified at that 1968 hearing, "My history tells the truth about America. It's going to be hard to teach it." It's very hard to celebrate African-American achievement or recognize talent within the African-American community if you're subjugating that community, which is what was happening in 1916. And it's also hard to talk about slavery and segregation and lynching when we all want to think of this as a great nation and the founding fathers as great leaders and great thinkers, but yet the ideals that were espoused in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution were far from being fulfilled for all Americans. And so I think it took a lot of political will and courage and vision for the leaders in Congress and President Bush to come together to do this. And I think that they're to be commended for it.
Mm. So the museum, of course, is opening now at a time where issues of racial injustice are no less present in America than they've ever been. I mean, we've got the Black Lives Matter movement, just one example. I mean, what role do you think the museum can play or should play in our current conversation and our current challenges about race and racial injustice?
Now, don't get me wrong. The museum isn't a panacea. No one institution, just like no one person, can solve, you know, an important problem facing the country, and certainly not the race issue or race problem in America. But having said that, I think that the museum can help all of us understand better the complicated history, the alliances that have been formed, the progress that we've made, all of the different nonviolent methods used to overcome that history. I think anytime people become more educated about an issue, they have a better ability to discuss it and to forge solutions and understanding.
Mm. Can you tell me of your experience, your personal experience as a Black man in America? I mean, because I've seen you in other interviews talk very frankly about, challenges even that you've faced, you know, getting pulled over. And so if you could tell me a little bit about that, because I'd love to understand more about how you approach this moment from the perspective of your own life.
Well, I mean, some of my experiences really propelled me to get involved in the movement to try to create this museum. In 1992, I was with family members when we were stopped by the Maryland State Police on the highway as we were returning from my grandfather's funeral in Chicago and driving back to Washington, D.C. And they got us out of the car and told us that unless we agreed to let them search the car, they would make us wait there for a drug-sniffing dog to be brought to the scene. And there was no reason for them to think that we had drugs. And I explained to them that I was an attorney and that there was a 1985 U.S. Supreme Court case called United States versus Sharp that they were violating, but my Harvard Law degree and citation to authority didn't really do much good for me there on the side of the road. So ultimately, after a lengthy detention, we were let go. But it was very disheartening, and we sued and reached a settlement with the Maryland State Police. And part of the settlement was that they would agree to record their searches and what they found, if anything, and the race of the people that they were searching. And it showed that they were searching four Black motorists for every one white motorist. And it led to, you know, even more litigation and a second settlement. and the case went on for 15 years. But in the midst of all of that, you know, I really felt like I wanted to be a part of something positive, of something that would hopefully help educate people about these issues, that would help bring the country together. And that's what really helped to drive me to work on this museum. And then also my experience as a public defender representing mainly African-American people in court, and just feeling like, you know, I was banging my head against the wall every day with these issues, and I wanted to be a part of something positive.
Well, Judge Robert Wilkins' new book is Long Road to Hard Truth, The 100-Year Mission to Create the National Museum of African-American History and Culture. Judge Wilkins, thank you so very much for coming in today and for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.